And welcome back in Stripe Show Podcast on a Thursday. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. This week, it's just me, folks, kicking off a little back-to-back week's Q&A. Next week, though, talented teacher up in Canada, Toronto area, works with a number of good players, Korn Ferry Tour, PGA Tour champions. His name's Shaheen Nakhjabani. You've heard me talk about him. Good friend of mine. He'll be joining me next week on a Thursday. Q&A, send us your questions as we kick off here back-to-back weeks. Twitter, at Travis Fulton. On Instagram, at Travis Fulton Golf. Send them to me. I'll write them down. We'll get to them. And we'll answer those questions. Full swing, short game, and potting. Let's get right to it here as we have a question. Travis, I am missing the ball to the right, high right shots. Am I too steep? I think you are. Yeah, I think you are. And of course, the club face is probably a little open. Now, I think steepness on the downswing is something that I see a lot. And, you know, another question I get a lot, it's like, Travis, how much do you teach? Well, I teach right now about 3 days a week. And, you know, I used to teach 6 days a week, 7 days a week, all day, every day, private lessons, golf schools, corporate events, you name it. We put in the long shifts. That's neither here or there right now. But yeah, 3 days a week right now, 22 years in all. And I've seen a lot of steep swings in my time. And, you know, steepness on the way down can come from a number of things. I mean, you know, I see a lot of players that are just steep going back, where they just take the hands and the lead arm and they just kind of move it away from them. And then it just goes up and down, kind of like a bunker shot, but with a driver in your hand. At address, I think, you know, the first thing is you want to have a little bit of side bend. You know, side bend can go to the right or to the left. For a right-handed player, you want to have a little side bend to your right at address. Steepness also can come from where you see a player take it too far to the inside, which is another question coming up, where the club head gets in behind the hands early, and then as it gets in and behind you, well, then your pivot will stop. You'll kind of quit turning oftentimes. You'll see a sway, and then you have to lift it, right? So you kind of lift, and then you come down steep. So you'll see a lot of that, that inside kind of in, up, and then over the top, if you will, where you get steep. So I always kind of consider that too. And oftentimes we'll get the club head a little bit more out in front in the initial phases of the backswing and then turn and get going around the right hip. You've got to get some depth in your backswing. Got to get the lead arm working a bit around you, but not to the point where you just suck the club head inside. Okay, so the club head's perhaps a little more out in front. Then turn that trail hip turning back. That increases the shoulder turn. Let the lead arm swing around you. And then from there, you can perhaps shallow it out a little bit. Get the club shaft to kind of fall back behind you. The club head to fall a little bit back behind you. Get the lead wrist in more flexion. And then from there, you can swing it from the inside. You know, one of my favorite drills, and this is a transition here to another question here as I kind of filter through. Travis, what is one of your favorite drills for ball striking? And this steepness question can transition into one of my favorite drills, which is low to high. You've probably heard me talk about it a little bit. So what you do is you set up, and I like to take a 7-iron, a little side bend to the right, get the club head on the ground, put the club head, say, from address, then put it back on the ground slightly to the inside, slightly to the right behind you, as if it's a backswing, but the club head's on the ground to the inside of the target line. And then from there, drag the club head along the ground low and then up to high, right? So it's like the club head would like be swinging up through the zone. I know that's not what happens with a 7-iron, but what you're feeling with your body when you drag the club head low and then up to high, like an overhand in tennis, is you're feeling your weight shift, you're feeling your body turn, you're feeling your body elongate up, the lead leg kind of straightens, the spine extends back, and the club head kind of swings more up and around. That's a good sensation to hit it from the inside. It's a good sensation to help shallow things out so you're not so steep. Low to high. It feels like an overhand in tennis. Excellent drill. Excellent drill for so many who struggle with steepness, for so many who struggle with a slice, and just for so many in general. It's really, really a good drill. Now, it's not good for the, it's not really identified as far as what the club head is actually doing. I know the club head's not dragging on the ground low to high, but it's really good for the body. Moving on, next question. Travis, I have a sway in my backswing. How do I fix that? Well, there's two kinds of sways. There's a lower body sway and then an upper body sway. A lower body sway for a right-handed player is when that pelvis kind of, you know, moves too laterally to the right. And, you know, if you had a post, if you had one of those alignment sticks you put in the ground along your trail leg, and then you were to turn and your hips would kind of slide past that, right? So we got to get that right hip working more back behind you, almost maybe perhaps feeling like it spins away slightly from that post, okay? Oftentimes I'll tell the right hip to go towards the left heel for those that have an excessive lower body sway. Don't be afraid to lose some flexion in the trail knee. I know there's a lot of players that keep the trail knee flex, Brooks Koepka, but there's a lot of players that don't, right? And they lose a little flexion. And I think in general, for amateurs who are trying to maximize distance, trying to keep their swing lengthened out to some degree, well, losing some flexion in the trail knee will help that. And oftentimes people, when they try to keep that trail knee flexed and they turn, not real flexible in the spine, they sway. There's different reasons that cause the lower body sway, but I think to fix it, that's what I would do. Let the right hip turn, sometimes even direct it towards the left heel and lose some flexion in the right knee. There's also an upper body sway where the upper body kind of just moves laterally too much off the ball. I talked about the side bend right and left. There's also forward bend, which is flexion, and then back bend, which there's extension, right? So that would be kind of more the front and back movement, forward and back. And then the side to side would be your side bends or tilts, right? Tilt right, tilt left. And I guess you could call it tilt forward and tilt back, flexion forward, extension back. Now, when you have too much upper body sway, then what's happening is when you turn, your spine is in right bend and flexion. Okay, so it kind of moves off the ball. Sometimes you'll see that even when the hip spins too much right hip towards the left heel. So this is where in these Q&As, you know, you have to filter through some things a little bit. And it can sound a bit like I'm contradicting myself, but these are different issues, right? But you can imagine if your right hip wasn't swaying laterally, but actually spinning too much towards your left heel, it would be easy for your spine to fall to the right and then down in flexion. So the fix in this upper body sway oftentimes is to get the right hip to work more up and back and the pelvis to slide a little bit towards the right heel, and then to get the spine to feel like it extends back and to the left. Hopefully that makes sense. Okay, but that would be the fix for an upper body sway, if you will, to the right. And then, of course, we talked about the lower body sway. Staying with the backswing, these are common things, okay? And oftentimes in my posts at Travis Fulton Golf on Instagram, that's the mothership, folks. Go there. We have a great time. But perhaps it can seem a bit repetitive on certain issues, but these are the most common issues. 22 years on the lesson tee, these are the things that I'm seeing and fixing all the time. All right. So far, what we've discussed in the steepness, in the sway, my favorite drill, low to high, these are real things that I'm applying all the time in helping people play better golf. And none more than this next question. Travis, I have an inside takeaway. How do I fix it? Now, inside takeaway is fingernails on a chalkboard for me. What it means is that the club head's getting in behind the hands early. Okay. Now we can do that different ways. sometimes you'll see the hand path go out away from the body, where the lead arm kind of comes off the chest, and then the club head gets in behind. And sometimes you see the hands go out, club head goes in, and that lead wrist kind of bows or flexes down. That can be probably the more difficult one to fix, because what you got to do is you got to get the player to feel as if their hands are more in, the lead arm's more up against their chest, kind of under their pec more, and the lead wrist feels more extended or more cupped. So it feels like the hands are in, but yet the club head's out. That's what it feels like. Hands in, club head out. And that's a heavy lifting fix at times, as is some of these others. But I think that one, more than perhaps any of them, takes some doing, because you've got two things happening there. You get your hands going out, club head then gets in with that lead wrist really bowing and flexing down. So you got to, all right, it's like my hands go in, the club head goes out. Okay, so it's like two different things, right? And that's what it is. It's when you're kind of managing two different relationships there. You're managing your hands relative to your body. I like to see the hands come in more for most, right? For most amateurs, hands traveling in. All right, got that. My hands are in, but not the club head. The club head kind of stays more out in front, okay? And the relationship here is really that the club shaft stays in line with the lead form. If you were to stand up nice and tall, put the club out in front of you on a horizontal plane and make a straight line with your lead arm and attach your lead arm to your chest and then turn to the right, keeping that straight line. That's easy to do when you're standing up on a horizontal plane. Lead wrist feels pretty flat, but the shaft's in line with the lead arm, turn right, still in line. Okay, that's what you want. Now, do that. Okay, and now bow forward and try to keep the shaft in line with the lead arm as you turn. Okay, now what happens is the lead wrist oftentimes will feel a little more extended, a little more cupped in order to achieve that. Certainly for that player who struggles, as I was just talking about, hands out, club head in, with that lead wrist really bowing down, really flexing. Oftentimes the face usually will be shut when you do that, all right? So that's one example. The other, the hands, you know, traveling pretty decent in, but the club head can kind of get in behind it too much as well. Sometimes you'll see the face close, sometimes you'll see it open. But nonetheless, the dimension you're missing there is the club head needs to work up. You'll hear me talk about that a lot. Players who get that club head kind of in quickly, oftentimes are trying to keep the club head too low to the ground. I don't like low going back. Club head's got to work up. And you can get it to work up two ways. You can kind of, you know, cock the lead wrist, okay, where if you put the club back out in front of you again horizontal, and you were to, you know, hinge that wrist or cock that wrist, now the club shafts, the club head's working up the line of the lead form, okay? It works up the line of the lead form. That's one way. The second way is to fold the right elbow. I like, for a right-handed player, fold that trail elbow like you're picking up a ball. You go down, pick up a ball, okay? And that elbow folds. Doesn't retract behind you, but it folds like a bicep curl. That's another way. Did that yesterday with the player. Worked perfectly. Get that bicep curl. Pick the club head up. And as you're picking the club head up, now turn with it. Really good combination. Which takes me into the sequence of the backswing. When you talk about the sequence of the backswing, when you're talking about the club itself, I think for most, they need to feel like the club head has a little up to it. Right? The club head's kind of working a little bit up. It's out in front of you. And then it works around you. Okay, so it's kind of up and out first and then around. And of course, the around's the turn, as I just talked about. Trail hip working back, up and back. A little loading sensation in the trail heel, spine extending slightly to the left, right? And that's kind of the deal in the sequence of the backswing. All right.
Rapsodo Mobile Launch Monitor. Improve your golf swing today. Pro level launch data in the palm of your hand. It is very accurate, within 2% of a $20,000 unit. The Rapsodo MLM app automatically tracks stats and stores video with Shot Tracer, helpful for club gapping and understanding true distances for each club. Rapsodo MLM provides immediate feedback data and creates a better practice environment, not mindlessly hitting balls. Extremely portable, cases about the size of a rangefinder. And you know what? You can use it both indoors and outdoors. I love this launch monitor. It's the Rapsodo Mobile Launch Monitor. Check it out at rapsodo.com. R-A-P-S-O-D-O.com. Rapsodo.com.
Let's see here. Travis, have a high handle at impact. How do I fix it? Well, the high handle, you know, sometimes you'll see players, you know, they'll set up with the butt of the club pointing right at the belt buckle. And then when they get the impact, that handle's super high and it's pointing up at the chest. And that high handle is inconsistent. Okay. When you get that high handle going, because now the body's going to stop turning, you got to use your hands more. The shaft's going to exit high. Now you can, you know, you can still hit a lot of good shots, and you can hit some draws doing that, right? And that's usually what you see with better players. If they come down steep, the body will stop. They'll stand the handle up, and then they'll let the club face pass, and they'll hit. They can still hit some draws. Those that just kind of wipe across it steep and just hit high right shots, they come down steep, and they just kind of keep turning left, and they exit, you know, with the handle and the club left. So oftentimes, you'll see better players who can hit more shots, stall the pivot, stand the handle up. And that steepness, or excuse me, that high handle at impact is coming from some steepness more times than not. It's coming from, on the downswing, a player who, you know, is pulling down with the lead wrist, has a lot of extension in the lead wrist, cupping. And you see the shaft kind of steep in between the forearms coming down, but it's kind of coming down from the inside. It's not like steep and over the top. It's like steep and from the inside. And then as they do that, then they stop, pull the handle up, and the club head kicks out. So that's a fix that takes a little bit more doing. There's certainly fixes that are easy. Fixing a sway is easy. Fixing an inside takeaway, for the most part, is easy, depending upon what goes with it. Fixing the club face is easy. Fixing path can be easy. Fixing the high handle can take some time. And because you have to work through a few things. One, you have to kind of consider the grip. Oftentimes, I see a really strong grip with these. I see a very strong grip, strong meaning both hands to the right on the grip for right-hand player. And then they get to the top, and they pull down and they carry that extension in the lead wrist a long ways down, and then they pop the handle up. So oftentimes you have to kind of get the grip to be a bit more neutral, and then you need to put some flexion in that lead wrist sooner on the way down, okay? And as you put some flexion in it, and that shaft can kind of not be as steep, then you're in a position where now you can turn and get the handle to return low left. A good drill, when you're hitting on the grass, take an alignment stick, put it on the same angle of the shaft out in front of you, up the target line a little bit, about the same length club that you're hitting. So when you swing through, you have to get your hands to exit under that. If you can get something to be, I guess, let me take a step back. Another thing you could do is if you get something to be just above your hands, let's say about, you know, foot and a half to the target side, where you're sensing that pool noodle that could be across an alignment stick. You see a lot of players, they'll take their bag, they'll put their bag out in front, they'll lay an alignment stick across with the pool noodle on it. And that pool noodle will just hover about, you know, slightly above your lead wrist, but about a foot and a half up the target line. So when you swing through, your hands have to exit under that. And if you come in with a high handle, your hands would run right into the pool noodle. So hopefully that makes sense. You have a caddy, just have them hover that that pool noodle right above there, and it's going to make you swing your hands more low left through the impact zone. But you got to consider the grip, you got to consider the wrist flexion, and you also have to have some depth. Make sure like a player has some lead arm depth, you know, around them. So again, more neutral grip, lead arm depth more around you in the backswing, club shafts shallowing out a bit with some flexion and lead wrist. Then kind of get those things organized, then you can rotate under that and work more low left and open up. All right.
DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sports book, but also America's top rated sports book. I love using DraftKings Sportsbook. It is easy to navigate, has plenty of instructions for new bettors and nearly limitless ways to get in on all the actions. My friends and family have been loving DraftKings Sportsbook, and I know you will too. Listen to this great offer. Place a pre-tournament wager of $1 to be eligible to cash $100 in free credits if Bryson DeChambeau sinks a birdie this week. That's 100-1 odds on Bryson hitting a birdie during the tournament. 100-1 odds on an offer like this doesn't come around often. So sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook now to get in on all the actions. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. So you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code Travis when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free credits if Bryson sinks a birdie this weekend. That's code Travis to turn $1 into $100 in free credits for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbooks. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Travis, I hear a lot about getting open at impact. Is that something I should be doing? Well, you know, getting open at impact means that you're trying to rotate your hips and open up your hips and your shoulders, right? So, you know, you got to have some things in place to open up. And a lot of them are just what I just discussed, right? You got to have some lead arm depth. You can't have your lead arm just working up and down and try to open up, because then you just wipe across it. So you got to get your lead arm working around you. You got to have the club face, I think, relatively prepared, meaning you got to have some flexion in that wrist where that face isn't open. Neutral grip, flexion in the lead wrist coming down. Club shaft has a little shallowing out to it. It's not steep. Yeah, now open up. You know, those are some things you got to have in place. So, you know, you can do that. But that's a luxury of, you know, being able to prepare things. And that's where the backswing matters. That's a statement that I'll make for amateurs. You know, this whole idea, it just matters where you get in the impact, right? You know, I'll make a post and you'll see it. All that matters, Travis, is impact. Yeah, I got that. Got it. Yeah, impact is the most important thing. But good luck trying to get there with face wide open, no lead arm depth, extension in the lead wrist. I mean, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, good luck getting there. Like, you have no shot to lean the shaft forward, weight left, rotating, head slide. I mean, there's a lot to this, folks. You just don't arrive there and all of a sudden, like, I got it. If that was the case, then we'd all be shooting 72. A little bit more to it, right? And that's where the old art comes into this of 22 years of not only giving a player good information, but giving it in the right order. And that's a lot of what I'm thoroughly talking about and wanted to start mixing in some Q&A so you could hear it from me more thoroughly in fixes. Okay. And again, send us your questions because we'll get to these. And I'm kind of focusing here on the common full swing things. But you know, you just don't arrive to an impact like John Rahm. Like, you know, you got to get some things going in order and development. And oftentimes it starts at address, backswing, structure, downswing movements. And then, yeah, okay, now let's start talking about impact. Next question here. Travis, you talk about extension in the spine through impact. Can you elaborate? Yeah, spine extension, again, if you stand up and you go forward, that's flexion. And now go back, that's extension. You feel a little dish in your back. You need extension through the strike, right? So the club's coming down. I'm going to get open. And as I'm turning and as I swing through, I got to extend, right? I'm working up off the ground. Extension keeps your head behind it. What I see oftentimes is players, they try to stay down and they turn and then that moves the head in front of it. Staying in your spine angle suggests don't move, right? Stay. I don't like that. Spine angle to me is moving. It's changing. It's an orientation. I like that word. And spine extension has to take place through the strike in order to keep your orientation properly to the ball. If you don't, then you move out ahead of it. Now the head's in front. Spine extension is cash. Cash money. You extend your spine in the backswing, then you work it back down in the flexion, and then it works back up in extension through the strike. I'm teaching it every day, all day. Load a high drill, drag that club, you feel the spine extending. Keeps your head behind the ball. That's what happens. So it's like when he's staying in his spine angle, well, I think in many ways, he's extending. That's his orientation. So that's where it kind of fools you a little bit. I think in 2D, you're seeing the head, 2D video, you're seeing the head stay behind it, and it's staying there because of the movement of the spine. Hopefully that makes sense. Big fan of extension through the strike. All right, next question. Let's get, this is kind of more of a full swing here today. Travis, I saw a video on YouTube with Eric that you guys did on the driver overcoming the forward ball position. Is this something I should do if I slice it? Yeah, it is. You know, you think about it, the ball goes forward in your stance. We tend to gravitate to it. We tend to kind of turn our chest up to that forward ball position. Now we're aiming left. I think the last thing you want to do is be aiming left with your chest. You know, I mean, in your shoulders with a driver for most amateurs. So I always kind of look at it, I'm overcoming the forward ball position. The ball's forward, way up off my left heel. My feet are wide. I'm tilted to the right, but it's easy to gravitate up to it and turn your chest to it. So most of the time when a player tilts, I'll get them to turn their chest a little bit more to the right of the ball. And if you can do that with the handle more in line with the driver head, don't lean the handle forward. Maybe put a little more weight on your trail foot and then off you go. Especially for a slicer. Yeah, I mean, you know, the reality is with the driver, okay, you've got to get your swing direction going more to the right with the driver than you do a 7-iron. Okay, let that sink in. To hit the same draw, amount of draw, for most players, they need to exaggerate more of the swing direction or the path, let's just call it, more out to the right than they do with an iron. And the reason that is because if you're going to hit up on it, with a driver, yeah, it's great to hit up, all right? Let's say you hit up 2 degrees with the driver. Well, those 2 degrees, in essence, that actually affects your path slightly to the left, okay? So every degree I hit up with a driver, it's going to move my path to the left the same amount. So 1 degree up equals 1 degree path to the left. 2 degrees up equals 2 degrees path to the left. So if I already know I'm hitting up 2, I know that I've already got built in a path that's working 2 to the left. We don't want that if we're going to draw it. So what that means is I've got to get my swing direction. And just look at swing direction, basically which way you're swinging through impact, right? Like, am I trying to swing a little bit out to right field per se, or am I trying to swing a little more to left field? We'll just keep it simple. Well, with the driver, you've got to feel a little more right field to offset that 2 degrees that's already built in because you're hitting up on it. With a 7-iron, you hit down. And the attack angle moving down is going to affect the path more to the right. So that's helpful, right? That's what we call a trap draw. Doesn't mean that you can just be hitting down on it with a 7-iron 3 to 4 degrees and you're going to automatically draw it, because we can see, obviously, a lot of players, they hit down on a little bit, but they swing so steep and across their body that the swing direction is so far to the left that they slice it. So what you see with players is you'll see on tour, you'll see them, you know, take this driver, or they'll take this iron and they'll be taking rehearsals and they're exiting left, right? Well, they're exiting left because they want to get that swing direction more left to offset a little bit of this attack angle that's moving down, and that neutralizes the path and they hit a dead straight shot. Or if they're trying to fade it, well, then they really get it going over to the left. Hopefully that makes sense. With the driver, you know, for amateurs, again, if you're hitting up on it, you've got to favor more to the right. I'll get players to be close. I'll make this statement here as we get close to the end here. I'll make this statement with the driver. For most players, again, now if you're hooking it, that's, you know, again, we have to be careful here. But for most, I would rather have you 3 or 4 degrees closed to the right with your stance with the driver than 1 degree open. You know, feel a little closed. Do the setup that I talked about. Get your swing direction working a little more out to right field. As you hit up on it, it's a good combination. Now the ball will draw to the left. I like doing that. Just, you know, go back to the 7. I like with players, I'll just get them to hit different exits through the strike where they'll set up square, and then I'll be like, hey, swing left through the impact zone. Let's see what it does. Okay, now swing, let the club swing more down the target line. Let's see what it does. Okay, now let's let the club swing out to the right and let's see what it does. And as we start changing that exit in the swing direction, we start seeing different starting direction and curves, all right? So just working on that can be helpful in kind of understanding where neutral is. Now, in theory, with an iron, neutral, because you're hitting down on it, has a swing direction that's slightly to the left, right? So I hit 3 or 4 degrees down, exit to the left a couple degrees with an iron, dead straight shot. That's how you hit a straight shot with an iron. You're going to hit down on it. Driver, not so much. Driver, I'm going to hit up on it. Well, I don't need to swing as left as much, so the exit can be a bit more down the line per se, slightly to the right per se, and hit a dead straight shot. Hopefully that makes sense. Good conversation, though, on how attack angle with the driver can change things. And I think the root of this was back to the question of, you know, overcoming the forward ball position and the slice. And these are the conversations that I have with people. And it tends to really help them. All right, last question. Travis, long irons need some help. Well, long irons, ball position's forward, right? Just inside where the driver is probably going to be. I like to handle in line, four iron, in line. Don't lean it excessively forward. I like a little side bend to the right. Got to get behind it. All right, so we're behind it. Ball's forward, handle's in line. You know, I think the inside takeaway kills the long irons. I think... you can get away with that club head kind of getting in behind you with shorter irons, but you get to that four iron, that's tough. So I'm constantly this kind of up and out first, you know, the club head's out in front of you and then around. I think that sequence a la Rory McIlroy really helps long irons, hybrids, fairway woods. Okay. So here's this lead arm and shaft in line, club head's kind of out in front of me. And then I turn and works around me. So it's kind of out first for, you know, out in front of me, club head, and then around. And then I can bring it back down and extend the spine through the strike. I think spine extension helps long irons because then I can launch it, right? I can stay behind it and really launch it. And, you know, that little sequence can help that. Now, I have some training programs that really kind of put this information in the right order. And it's in the Skills app. You can go check it out. You can see it on my website, Travis Fulton Golf, Instagram. You'll see it in my bio there at Travis Fulton Golf on Instagram. And there's a number of training programs. One that people really like is Iron Game, because I go through short irons, mid irons, long irons, and you can go through it in order. Iron Game is really good. Total driving, people love. And if you have a slice, do Operation Baby Draw. It's the number one training program. Operation Baby Draw. I have a bundle package as well. You get all of them, $69 for 84 videos. Go check it out. Each training program, 10 videos in order. Remember my motto, great info, right order. Great info, right order. I'm trying to give you context in every post I make. And as we do these Q&A, I'm going to give you more context. So I'd appreciate any feedback you have. On this Q&A here today, it's a Thursday, Travelers Championship. Hopefully you caught the full lineup this week on the Stripe Show podcast. Gary Williams was great. Good friend of mine back in the Golf Channel days. Recapping the U.S. Open. We had Kenny Kim, Fantasy Golf. Great breakdown here of the Travelers. And then yesterday, folks, Brandel Chamblee joined Froggy. Great stuff. You haven't listened to it, go check it out. A lot of good discussion on the Premier Golf League. Brooks and Bryson. Snooze fest at this point. I'm over it. But Brandel. Some really, I thought, very accurate statements on that whole feud. And then some good stuff on Spieth as well and Rory that I posted on Instagram on their swings. And I tend to agree, and I'll finish with this. You know, Spieth, like Travis, you know, what don't you like about it? Well, again, you know, this is where you can't play just making things look good for that reason, right? Because Spieth, we know, has struggled for a long time. And, you know, I don't know exactly what's been happening, you know, as far as inside that camp. I've asked Cameron McCormick to come on the podcast. He denied, his coach. So, you know, all you can do is, what do you see? You know, what do you see? Your resources. And that's what I've done and tried to give some light on what I think has happened it's gone on, you know, it went on for a long time. And, you know, he did visit Butch, and I'm sure Butch told him to go to the Fade, but Jason Duffner's helped him here a lot as of late. And you can see some of those things. You know, the reality, you look at the top, the club shaft has never been more laid off. I'm not a big fan of a laid off club shaft, but, you know, look, John Rahm's laid off, Sergio's laid off, you know, so you can certainly play high level from there. You just don't see it very often, but he's got it laid off. And then from there, you know, the club does come down into a reasonably good, decent spot, but, you know, it's going to have to steepen probably a little bit. You know, it's just interesting. It's a very interesting situation right now when you look at it, because I don't think clubs looked ever any worse than it does right now at the top of the swing, but he's hitting it better. So that's what you got to go with, right? And I'm sure the camp that they have there and their team is like, hey, he's hitting it better. Let it go, right? It's not exactly the way we want it to look, but he's hitting it better. And you run with it. You know, I mean, you run with it. You know, he's definitely getting the club more out in front of him. He's definitely getting the path more to the left, and he's able to find it, feel it, and do all those things. Rory, you know, I think we need to see probably a little bit more. You know, he's definitely hitting the ball better. His putting was just atrocious at the U.S. Open. But he's definitely, you know, he looks like he's in a better spot. But, you know, I think back to what Brandel was saying and some people were kind of criticizing is, you know, I think you got to look at the old Rory where he would get it kind of behind him too much and stuck, right? Stuck meaning the path's coming too much from the inside and they got to save it and flip it. And he went to that fade. And I like that. But I think interesting, he hit a lot of draws at the U.S. Open. So, you know, is the club still too much behind him? It appears to be, you know, it appears to be. But, you know, Rory can save it and have those moments of brilliance when he does. So I think it's going to be interesting with Rory to see if he stays committed to the fade. And interesting with these players, the fade is usually where they got to go, right? Because when better players struggle, they get the path too far from the inside, okay? And that's why they feel like they have to then go to the fade. It's pretty simple, really. Hey, I'm hitting too many push draws. Okay, let's hit some fades. I'm hitting too many pull slices. Okay, let's hit some draws, right? Where do you fall into that mix? And most amateurs fall into too much path left, too much curve to the right. So the majority of the stuff that I'm putting out with the context is kind of more of that operation baby draw, if you will. That's why it's the number one training program. Tour players, you know, most of them don't have any trouble drawing it, you know, so they, if they, anything, they err too much push draw, like Rory. So they got to get it going the other way, right? Like Spieth, his path was out to the right. Like Tiger when he struggled. So these are the things that you have to kind of put into context. I think with Rory, not so much Spieth, but more Rory, will he stay committed to the fade? I think that's going to be the question. Hopefully he does, and hopefully he can get that putter figured out. Because I'd like to see Rory get back up there playing some great golf. Spieth, I don't know. Is it a Band-Aid? We'll have to wait and see. Let's see if he can maintain what he's doing from what I would say is a very interesting position at the top. All right, folks, that's enough for a Thursday. Hopefully you enjoyed it. Q&A next Thursday. I'm bringing in Shaheen Nakhdavani. It's going to be great. Send us questions. Give me feedback here. Give us a nice rating, will you? Go out there. Give me a nice comment and rating on the podcast. Hopefully you enjoy it. Stripe Show Podcast is really growing. Tell your friends. We are on the way, baby. We are on the way. Thank you for joining us. Samantha will be with you tomorrow. Great lineup next week. Holy mackerel, great lineup. Aaron Holberhoser with Golf Channel is going to join me on Monday. Brandon Guptill will join me on Tuesday. We got a special, special guest for you on Wednesday. One of our biggest names, I'm not going to ruin it, is coming on Wednesday. And then, of course, Shaheen on Thursday, Samantha on Friday. We are here to entertain you, help you play better golf, and enjoy the game. Thanks for joining Stripe Show Podcast. We'll see you next time. I just want to interrupt this interview real quick and give a shout out to my friends over at Encore Golf. Encore provides some of the most cutting edge technology in a golf ball that I have ever seen. Their team in Buffalo, New York is changing the script of golf technology through their perimeter weighted designs, which offer players enhanced accuracy and control for every shot on the course. With their award-winning Elixir and Avant 55 golf balls, they are transforming the game for players of all skill levels. Visit EncoreGolf.com/Travis Fulton for more details about their products that are revolutionizing the game. Now back to the Stripe Show.